frequently sharing the street with all the buses, cars, and trucks are cyclists, often under-mentioned as a part of the transportation industry. Bicycles have long been a part of many Torontonians' daily commute. A survey conducted last June by CAA found that there's been a 30% increase in the amount of cycling in Canada. Riders who haven't pushed pedals in years are finding a way to get outside. Mandem Cycling Club is a racially diverse cycling group. They have slowly grown from a group of friends to a mass of people exploring the city together. Unlike the TTC and Metrolinx, founder Christopher McGarrell saw an increase in ridership during the pandemic.
My name is Christopher McGarrell. I'm the founder of Mandem Cycling Club. It's a community organization based in Toronto. Prior to the pandemic, just from the people that I've spoken with, like, Toronto does have a vibrant cycling community. A good chunk of that is, you know, competitive, so people who are on actual clubs and who race and who compete and perform on the bike at a high level. But there's also a good portion of people that ride their bike for their primary mode of transportation. You know, if you're someone who lives in the downtown core or somewhere around where at least there's like bike lanes and infrastructure available to you, there's a lot of people who rely on their bicycle as their primary mode of transportation. So that existed. I think that was what the pandemic highlighted, was that there's a lot more people in the city that ride than was initially thought. And that was shown by when they did all the road closures in the city and the crazy amount of numbers that came out. Also, when they protected the bike lanes on Bloor, they saw way more activity. So it's just been a testament to the fact that, you know, if you offer a safe space for people to use a bicycle, the people in the city will definitely take advantage and use it as much as possible. I didn't start this with any intention of it blowing up. I just wanted to have something for my friends and I to do. But we made it open for anybody to join it. I have a pretty decent, network or circle of influence around me and my friends. And more people just came out. And we saw tremendous growth in a very short period of time. So if you look at our first couple of rides, we had like 10, maybe 15 people. But then week after week with the exponential growth, like I had maybe 4 or 5 weeks in a row where we had 100 people on bikes riding with us, you know, and a lot of those were people of color, and even more granular was women of color. And that's some of the stats that I've read just from different publications and different studies, that as much as the bike boom was really a thing last summer, the growth in Black cyclists compared to previous years was crazy, and specifically like women of color of Black, other races, there's just so much growth in that representation. So I think people just start to realize, you know, when the gyms are closed and lots of other things weren't available to them, the bicycle was that one thing that offered the freedom and that balance of like physical activity and wellness and fun, and people just jumped all over it. So if anybody's like myself, they jumped on it maybe as a trendy thing to do, but then they fell in love with it. So I think it definitely opened up a lot of eyes in terms of the benefits of cycling, for sure.
Despite being focused on public transit, the city of Toronto has played a part in this most recent biking boom. Moves like protecting bike lanes really can make a difference.
The Bloor bike lane was redesigned. They protected it and they made it more safe. And from that, they saw a lot more growth. So Bloor is a main artery in the city to go east-west. And I can say from that experiment alone, there's definitely a lot more active use from a commuter or transportation standpoint, for sure. Even myself, like as someone who started just to ride recreationally, once I built up the confidence to realize, you know, what my abilities were, myself, I started to commute to work by bicycle, which is something that I would have thought as, you know, unattainable or unrealistic last year, right? So the more people ride, the more confident they get, and the more they realize what they can accomplish and achieve with their bicycle. So definitely would see some growth on that side as well.
HopinTech fills in the gaps left by public transit. Their pandemic pivot is unlike anything we've covered so far in this series.
So my name is Boyd Reed. I'm the co-founder and COO of Hopin Microtransit Technologies, or Hopin Tech for short. What we do is we work with companies that help get their employees to work. How we do this is with the logistics software that we use to mobilize transportation options such as rideshare and charter bus companies to fill the gaps that are left by public transit to make the commute to work a lot more efficient and safe.
Hopin Tech had plans for expansion at the beginning of 2020.
Yeah, during that time, we were actually looking at growing the team, growing into the States as well to expand our services and see what we can do in terms of bringing our solution, not only within Ontario, but we're also looking in different areas across the States as well. So what we're looking in terms of measure of success is successfully moving into the States by bagging a few clients and building a presence out there. Obviously, a lot of that changed when the year progressed, but that was our measure of success, was successfully getting into the United States. Yeah, I think like a lot of companies, we went into triage mode and try to figure out what we can figure out. There were so many unknowns. And we were trying to like siphon through all that information to figure out what was real, what was just theory. And what we decided to do was take a step back. You know, a lot of times companies, entrepreneurs, startups, tech scene is really big on just powering through, figuring out, fail fast and learn faster. But we decided because of this, especially when people's lives were at risk, it made the most sense for us to take a step back and figure out what is really going on. So in those early months, what we decided to do was take a step back and see how else we can help in terms of transportation right now, in terms of people coming together was a big unknown, and we didn't want to necessarily power through that and be held responsible for anything. But what we decided to do instead was start what we call our COVID initiative, which was helping frontline healthcare workers knowing that they had a huge responsibility on their plate. So we did meal deliveries, we did free rides to work for them, and we also done a ton of donations in collaboration with other partners across the GTA on that. And we decided to focus more so on that. And then, you know, later on in the year, started to look back into our services and how we can support that way too. What we decided to pay attention to was, you know, take a step back and talk to our clients and the people in our industry and figure out where are they seeing the biggest challenges and pain points that we can come in and help solve. And one of the biggest things was the crowding. And that's when they implemented, you know, social distancing / physical distancing as they adapted the terminology over time to. And when you look at a lot of the companies that we work with, which is manufacturing, food packaging plants that are located outside the reach of mass transit, that are normally paying lower wages for their employees because it's unskilled labor. Those are the employees that are, one, considered essential employees, so they had to go into work still. And two, because they're being paid lower wages, they weren't able to necessarily have their own car to drive themselves into work, so they're still very reliant on public transit. But because of COVID, there was a huge scare when it came to people coming together and a lot of those situations there. So what we were able to do was, in a sense, mitigate some of that by working with companies to provide more of a private transit and shuttle option that allows their employees and their staff members to remain almost like a bubble in a bubble that reduces the amount of touch points with someone who could potentially have COVID. Yeah, it's definitely changed what I've seen, and I think it's a great change for the better. Is a lot of people really focusing on their employees and not just in terms of what they can do, in terms of what the employees can do for them, but what they can do for their employees. tons of safety measures were put in place to be able to protect them, you know, because the work still has to be done. But what can they do to put themselves in a situation where they're able to protect their employees? And a lot of our conversations were around what measures can we do to continue to protect them in any way we can. You know, there's only so much you can do as a company. If someone meets somebody or walks by someone in the street and they have COVID and it gets transmitted that way, how can you protect that, right? There's nothing you can do as a company to protect them in that sense, right? But what can you do as a company when they're in your facilities or their communities of work? What can you do to protect them there? So what a lot of the conversation was around was measures that we were putting in place. And what we did is working with our charter bus companies and our partners in the transportation side was putting in things and following along the news and health recommendations around physical distancing, mask upon boarding shuttles, you know, the hand sanitizer upon boarding shuttles as well. But not only just a matter of cleaning, but also disinfecting as well to really reduce the amount of germs. So what we wanted to do was be in continuous conversation with our clients to let them know that what the measures that we're putting in place and how that does and make sure we fall in line with also their measures too. So we have like a check-in app where it comes to symptom tracking that we're able to share with our clients so that they're able to better track potential symptoms and signs of COVID. We've also been able to, like I mentioned, the physical distancing and the mask requirements on the bus as well. And to this day, we've had zero cases for any of our commuters on our shuttles because we've been really intentional and working very diligently in protecting the employees. To a shock to a lot of people because you think about COVID, you think about reducing the spread, you think about some of the things I mentioned, but what has really come to light in this time is actually mental health. How are employees and people who are riding with us feeling about situations, right? Do they feel safe? Do they feel stressed out? Are they anxious? That's one thing that is really, really big for us in terms of our understanding is how not only can we protect them, but we provide experience that they're not going into work very stressed. Are they not going to work very anxious about, you know, what is going on, right? So for us, what has really come out of the light in this situation is the protective measures that we've been able to do is something that we'll keep up and we'll continue even post, you know, vaccination and post, you know, things starting to become back to normal. One of the biggest things for us is the mental health component that we've been able to implement into our riding experience, checking in with the riders, getting their feedback, figuring out what we can do to make the everything a little bit at ease because, you know, COVID will come and pass, but there will be other situations, whether it is the economy, whether it is something that's happening in your local area, these all things that can add to additional stress when it comes to an employee commuting into work. And for us, what we've been able to learn a lot from this experience on top of all the stuff we've been able to do in terms of preventative measures for COVID, but also how we can enhance the overall experience for our ridership so that going forward, any further challenge that we may experience, this feedback loop that we've been able to design is something that we can continue to make sure that our riders have a heightened experience.
Many of the changes made over the past year will continue long after COVID has passed. In our final episode of the series, we take a look at how these companies are looking forward, looking ahead, and what they think about the future. This series is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative in partnership with CJRU.